I was brought up without a knowledge of the gospel. I didn't come into the Christian family. But I thank God for one thing, that my parents brought me up with a respect for the Word of God, and I believed the Bible. That was about all. I believed the Bible. I believed that if a person believed in God, did the best he could, went to church, trusted in God, everything would work out all right at the end. And I learned one day a simple truth, working in an office beside a girl that was born of God, and I was religious. I learned that she had something that I did not possess. That was very simple. A man called up on the phone and he wanted to speak to the boss in the office, and she put her hand over the mouthpiece. She said, "It's Mr. So-and-so, he wants to speak to you." And he said, "Tell him I'm not here." And she was a Christian. And she put the phone down on the desk and she said, "Tell him yourself." So he looked at me, he said, "You tell him." So I told him. I learned a lesson. I said, "There's a difference." I didn't know what it was, but I said, "There's a difference between that person and me." I learned it from that little thing. She'd never preached to me. But later on, she came with a little piece of paper to put it in front of me. She had four lines drawn, which represented the two roads, the broad road and the narrow road. And she explained to me very briefly the Lord's words in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. And she said, "Which road are you on?" And I would like to ask you that question tonight in this meeting. Which road are you on tonight? I looked at a wee bit of paper. And I looked at the narrow road and I said, "That's presumption. The Archbishop couldn't say he's on it." And it left me with the broad road, and I said, "I'm not on the broad road. I go to church and I believe in God." And finally I put my finger at the intersection. I said, "I'm there." She said, "You're not there." It's either one thing or the other, either the narrow road or the broad road. And I still remember I put in the word "if," you know, you try to get an escape, if. And God can overcome the ifs. I said, "If what you say is true, then I'm on the broad road going down to hell." And as soon as I said those words, "I'm on the broad road going down to hell," God convicted me. Like an arrow from God, and I knew that I was telling the truth. I was on the broad road going to hell. She took away the paper. She didn't labor the point when she got an answer from me, but she left something stuck in me that I never forgot. It never left me. And from that moment I was convicted of this. I might go to church, and I might think I'm doing the best I can, and I might want to trust in God at the end, but I'm a sinner on the broad road, and I'm going to hell. Now, it's not a nice thing to leave a man with, but it's necessary. And it's not very palatable, I'll tell you, whenever God convicts a man or a woman or a young person of his sin. It's not very palatable. It leaves you a wee bit uneasy. And it's always in your mind. And you can't forget it. And even when you go to bed at night, you think about it. And when you get up in the morning, it's still in your mind. And there's one thing seems to get into your mind, and it's this: I'm not right with God, and I'm going down to hell. Not palatable. And I was left with that in my mind for a few months, and I never forgot it. Then she came one day and she said, "Would you like to go to a gospel meeting?" Gospel meeting starting in the Craigie Street Gospel Hall. I didn't even know where the hall was. I could walk to it from the house in 3 minutes. I didn't even know it existed. Hear the gospel. It's hard for me perhaps to express what a gospel meeting meant for me. I had a reaction perhaps in large measure because of the impression that the first Christian I met had left upon my mind. And I thought, all the Christians are like that one. They're all the same. I went to the gospel hall, and the singing was different, and the preaching was different, and everything was different. And it impressed me. Everything impressed me. I never forget the preaching. I learned something else when I started to go to the gospel meetings. I had learned that I was a sinner on the road to hell, and I heard that every night at the gospel meeting, but I learned something else. I learned that God had sent his Son, and that there was a Savior, and there was salvation even for me. And when I learned that, I wanted to get it. Once I learned that truth, I realize there's something for me and God has got something for me and I want to get it, but how can I be sure it's mine? I remember the old brother that was on the door, he got to know me and he used to keep me a seat just inside the back door. And I just slip in, he said, and they'll not see you. Everybody knew I was there every night. But he slipped me into the back seat at the back where so no one would see me. And when I was going out, he used to talk to me. And one night he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I said to the old gentleman, I said, I believe. I said that in all sincerity. I thought he was talking about the Bible. If anyone had asked me, I didn't know what the Bible said. But you know the Protestant idea, will fight for the Bible, the Bible's right. And someone said to me one night, read John 3 and verse 16. I said to the man, what are you quoting me one verse for? I said, I believe the whole thing. Believe it all. And I believe the creed. And I said to the old man, I believe. And he said, you're not saved. I said, that's right. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I said, I believe. And he said again, you're not saved. Now can you work that one out? I believed a history. Believed in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, the sinless life, the sin-atoning death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension. And I said, I believed. And the old man said, you're not saved. And he was right. Because I was believing a history. And I learned that this word believe in the Bible means this, to trust in a person. And you're believing a history tonight. You believe the book. There are children with us brought up in the gospel. And we could read it all to you and you say, I believe it. And I was just there too. But you have not trusted yet in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died upon the cross. Our brother was telling us recently the case of a man that Blondin took him across the Niagara Falls on his shoulders, and there was so much money being bet on the fact that Blondin couldn't take him across that one person cut a guy rope which was holding the main cable, and the whole thing swayed when Blondin was out halfway across and the man on his shoulders. And he took him across just to see him. And it was years afterwards, some of the friends met the little man that he'd had on his shoulders, and they asked him a question. They said, what did you think whenever you felt the whole thing swaying underneath you? He said, I knew that Blondin would take me to the other side. What do we think, brethren? We trust in the Lord Jesus. We know this, he'll take us to the other side. We're trusting in a man who will take us safely over. But you're believing a history and you're not saved. So my problem was the word believe. And I used to go to the meetings and I wanted to get away from the word believe. And I heard different words that were also a difficulty to me, and I finally heard this text. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, that's the verse for me. I went home, it was the 16th of May, 1947. In the little bedroom, I went round recently to look at the house, 73 Ravenhill Gardens off the Ravenhill Road. Up in the back bedroom where I slept with my brothers. It was about 9:30, I got down at the side of the bed. And I remember I went over all that I had learned. I confessed to God that I was a sinner on the broad road going down to hell. That I had learned that there was a Savior for me, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross. And I told God I wanted to get saved. And I said I had difficulty in believing, but I simply accepted the word. And I believed that God would fulfill it in my case. And I called upon him for salvation, to accept Christ as my Savior. And I'd almost say, as one man said, he got saved without believing. Not exactly, but you get away from the word, you know. Your mind gets away from the word. Mr. McElwain was preaching one time, and a young man was very anxious to get saved. That was on the Friday night. And the man wasn't saved. Next day there was a conference, and when he was sitting up at the front, he looked back and he saw the young man coming in with a smile on his face, and he said, either he has lost his anxiety or God has saved him. And his problem had been believing. And Mr. McElwain couldn't wait. He couldn't wait until the end of the meeting. He got up and he went right down and he said, what happened? And the man said, I got saved last night. He said, how did you get it? He said, I got saved without believing. He had come to Christ. He had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look at the word of God and we're glad of this, that God has used a great variety of language simply for this reason, to put within your reach salvation. Because if you find one word difficult, God will give you another word. And if you find that one difficult, God will give you another one. And amongst all these words and expressions that God is using, he's putting salvation within your reach. One brother was asked one night the question, would you like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ? That's John chapter 1, to as many as received him. You receive, you accept. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Some find it easy to come. Look unto me and be ye saved. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God is using this great variety of language to put within the reach of all men salvation. I trust that God will speak to you tonight and help you that you might get saved. I remember afterwards, at home, the folk at home weren't enamored with the gospel meetings, I can tell you that. Whenever I told them I was saved, I still remember what my mother said. She said, now listen, she said, those are serious people. And this thing, she said, that you've got into it serious. And she said, you have too happy a personality. She said, you'll not keep that more than 2 weeks. She said, you'll not live that kind of a life for more than 2 weeks. That was all right. I thank God for a good mother, but I'm glad she made a mistake. So that we thank God for salvation, and we're glad tonight that God has blessed us and saved us, and I feel like Samuel. As we get older, salvation gets bigger. It gets greater and it gets sweeter. And our desire is that others might be saved. And we look upon you tonight, we'd long to see you saved, and so would these men here. But salvation's a work of God. But thank God there's a Savior that suffered and died upon the cross. He finished the work, and tonight God is putting salvation within your reach. And we trust that here in the Gospel Hall, you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and rejoice with us in salvation. And we'll ask the Lord's blessing.